This week on Personally Speaking, my guest is the actor Adam Jacobs. You'll know him as the star of Aladdin on Broadway and now one of the stars of The Who's Tommy. Stay with us. Hello and welcome to Personally Speaking. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti. An actor and singer, Adam Jacobs, joins me now. Adam originated the role of Aladdin on Broadway. He was also seen on Broadway as Simba in The Lion King and Marius in Les Miserables. Adam has starred in 5 Broadway national touring productions and has performed with symphonies in Carnegie Hall, the Kennedy Center, and internationally in Vienna, Dubai, and Japan. He's currently starring as Captain Walker in The Who's Tommy, a Broadway revival. Adam is married to Kelly, and together they are the parents of twin boys. He's here with us today to talk about his life, his family, his career, and the values that mean the most to him. Joining me now, I'm so pleased to welcome to Personally Speaking, actor and singer Adam Jacobs. Before we go to our interview with Adam, let's listen to a clip from The Who's Tommy, presently on Broadway. Adam Jacobs is our guest on Personally Speaking. Adam, first, I want to go to a historical moment in your life. I'm just intrigued by it. I was in a production years ago of Jesus Christ Superstar, but I don't remember there being a 13th apostle. And yet I'm told that's what you play. What was the 13th apostle?
He was just the water boy at the Last Supper. That's who he really was. I did a production of that show when I think I was 13. Wow. And it was a community theater production down in Palo Alto, California, close to where I grew up. And it was funny, I auditioned and they had already pretty much cast the whole show, but they enjoyed my audition so much and they said, well, we're gonna put you in the show, we're gonna find a place for you. Wow. And that's what they came up with. And they actually split up Simon's solo. He has a performance there, and the Zealot, and I he was not happy that he had to split up his solo with me. That was a long time ago. The happy memory.
Now, Adam Jacobs, for our folks who are watching and listening around the world, he has had this incredible career from the time he was just a kid in theater and music and dancing and singing. But here's what I'm wondering about. When does it happen, Adam, that tons of kids, including myself, have an avocation to the arts where they do it for a while in high school, college, but then most people get themselves, for want of another term, a real job. But you made this decision to go into the arts and make it your vocation. How did that process happen? It's not just an interest, it's what I want to do with my life.
Right. I really have to credit my teachers and directors. I had an English teacher who also was the head of the drama program at St. Ignatius College Preparatory in San Francisco, where I attended a really great Jesuit high school. And it was Mr. Peter Devine who cast me in all of the musicals and shows. And it was after one particular, I guess, rehearsal for a show that he came up to me and he said, I don't know if you ever thought about possibly doing this for a living, but he's like, I believe you have the talent and the wherewithal to really do this for a living if you wanted to. And up until that point, this was probably I guess, sophomore year in high school. Until then, I had just been studying music at the San Francisco Conservatory, playing piano and doing solfege and doing some community theater productions and mostly playing soccer. You know, I was also an athlete. And so I wasn't really thinking, I hadn't decided at that point in my life what I wanted to do, but he definitely planted the seed. Mm-hmm. He put that kernel in there. And I was like, you know what? I really do enjoy performing and I enjoy storytelling and who doesn't love being applauded at the end of a show, right? And performing with your friends, and feels like a strong bond you're creating with your friends. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm gonna go after that. So I applied to NYU and to UCLA and to Michigan, and I got into my top choice NYU, and then the rest is pretty much history. But so I have to credit Mr. Peter Devine for really, you know, giving me the idea and the encouragement to go for it.
We had Dean Koontz, the novelist, on, and he talked about the fact that he had decided that he was going to go to college and study finance. And one of his high school teachers said, if you go into finance, shame on you, because you can write. And he's always been grateful. In the same way, Peter Devine did that for you. Now, have you had a chance, Adam, to in some way be a mentor or an encourager for younger actors?
Yeah, very often. I love doing master classes, and just this past winter, right before I started Tommy rehearsals, I was up in Wisconsin working with the Central Wisconsin Education Theater Alliance up there. And they put up a production of Beauty and the Beast, and I was sort of an artist in residence. I was up there for a few days and helping them find their characters. And I love working with young artists and helping, you know, to inspire them and you know, and say, look, you know, anybody can do it. And it's definitely possible if you believe and you train and all those things. So I love giving back, and I do lots of master classes and things like that.
That's great. Adam Jacobs is our guest, a great actor who had experience years ago. Many of us saw him in Aladdin. We loved him in that. Now he's starring on Broadway in The Who's Tommy. Let me ask you, though, because anyone looking up your resume will see that you have worked a lot in the creative arts, but I don't know any actor who hasn't said to me, but there are also fallow times. There are also times when I went out for a part and I was perfect for it and didn't get it.
Oh yeah.
How does Adam handle the disappointment of not getting a role?
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's 90% of being an actor is auditioning and not getting the role. Wow. So you start to sort of develop the skill of being able to cope with disappointment and you get that thick skin, you get that, you have to be reminded of the passion that brought you into the industry to begin with, and try not to get disheartened and discouraged by every no, because you're going to face lots of no's. You maybe get, you know, 5%, 3% of the things that you auditioned for. So it's really, it's just, you know, just how it is. And then hopefully you get to a level where people will start calling you and say, hey, I got this project, I would love for you to be, you know, and at that point, that's sort of a nice level of success at that point, when you don't have to audition for everything. But you still have to audition, you know, 90% of the time. But so dealing with that, you know, it really helps for me, I feel, having a life outside of the theater.
Right.
Having, you know, my wife and my kids. I have twin boys who are 10 now. You know, having something that grounds you, I think, is very important especially in this industry. So, whether it's family or friends that are, you know, that you can surround yourself with and always have that, they'll have your back. You know, it's good. It just really helps, especially in those times when things aren't going your way, and they're always going to be those times, but, it just helps to be able to get through when you have, that kind of, backup, I guess.
Adam Jacobs is our guest. Adam, you know, it's a perfect segue for where I wanted to go next. I was talking, our guest last week was Kelly O'Hara, and I said, you know, how do you juggle the family and the theater and everything else? And I was using as a point of reference Katharine Hepburn in her autobiography, called me, says, I never got married. I never had kids because I want my career and I consider myself a selfish person and family life is demanding. And you know that. So I'm just wondering, when you made the decision back in Hershey, Pennsylvania, to fall in love with Kelly, what did Kelly have that made you say it would be easier to be single in this business, but I want this woman as my partner for life? What did she have that made you say Kelly's the one?
I mean, how do you define love? I mean, it's just there's just a connection there that, you know, I mean, at the time we met, she already had a gig lined up to go to Tokyo for 7 months. Oh, wow. Right after we met, you know, we had a 2 month gig, a Christmas gig. And at the time we were thinking, oh, it'll just be, you know, having fun for now. Mm-hmm. But by the end, of course, she felt that there was something more there. So I flew to Japan twice to be with her. And then we moved into an apartment in New York shortly thereafter. But yeah, there's just a connection. There's something that, you know, that somebody, you just feel it. You know, they say love at first sight. If you believe in that, it definitely kind of happened with me and Kelly. So it was just an immediate connection. We were paired up as dance partners in that Christmas show. And so that probably helped too. And, and it also helped that Hershey is the birthplace of Hershey's chocolate. Yeah. And they put chocolate on your pillow at night. They give you free hot chocolate. So you got to blame the chemicals as well.
They say it brings out that desire and that need and that beautiful love. And it did.
That's right. Free hot chocolate. I blame the hot chocolate.
You know, last weekend, I was up to Boston to visit a nephew of mine who has three little sons. And I admit to you, Adam, that by the end of the weekend, I was like thanking God for my celibacy. But I mentioned that because raising kids, I mean, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. God bless you for doing it. But tell us about the kind of parent that Adam is.
Well, I've found that I'm not as patient as I thought I was. Right. Yeah. And it's new challenges every day. Just as soon as you think you've got a handle on it, something changes, new challenges arise. And thank God for my wife, Kelly. You know, she's my pillar. She's holding down the forts in Chicago. I'm in New York now and we're separated. And I go back and forth on my days off and actually going this weekend and to be with them and to help. And because I know that my kids, you know, want to be with me as much as they can. And I want to help out as much as I can, obviously. So parenting is it's tough. It's, you know, there's no handbook. And like I said, I have two the same age and they just gang up on my wife sometimes. And she'll call me and I'm just like, I'm so sorry, but I got to run rehearsal. Bye. Click. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's like, I wish I could help more. So she's really, you know, doing it. And I credit her. And I give her all of my love and support as from a distance as much as I can.
Alex and Jack are the 10-year-old twins. And whenever twins get to you, I want you to think of a woman in my parish named Judy who had quads. Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness.
So we pray for Judy all the time. You know?
Oh, yeah. We'll pray for Judy.
Now, people might not know because Adam has this look that could be everything and anything. And but he has an interesting blend of the Filipino and the Jewish background. I'm just wondering, like, when you were being raised, Adam, how do those cultures blend?
Well, you know, I was raised Catholic. I went to was confirmed. I went to a Catholic middle school, St. Matt's Catholic school, and then Jesuit school. My father, he was non-practicing, really. So mostly secular. And so, but every once in a while, we would go visit his mom and we would do Passover Seder or something like that, you know. So I think I was pretty much in a non-religious household growing up, in the sense that we weren't devout in either way because my mom was Catholic and my dad was Jewish and they had to come to some kind of compromise. I don't know what you would say, but it was that sort of thing where we still were spiritual in a way that we found connections with with nature and with our with God in our own way, and found the commonality, I suppose you could say, in both of those in those religions, and found that kind of peace and the spirituality, I guess, is the only word I can think of right now, right, that connects us. So the thing that connects us all. Sure. And I found we were able to still do that.
I have a priest here in the rectory with me, Father Andy, who's from the Philippines. And he said, make sure you mention that he's got a Philippine background. He's very proud of you, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And what about the experience of, because not everyone has that opportunity to go not only to a Catholic high school, but one where the Jesuits or the teachers were considered to be the most brilliant of educators in so many ways. Good experience for you?
It was great. It was the best education. I really credit my parents for not sending me to Half Moon Bay High School and sending me 40 minutes north to the Jesuit high school that had all the advanced placement courses. And yeah. I think they had the most available at the time on the West Coast. And it was just a supreme education. And Jesuits know how to do that. So
they sure do. Yes.
It was way more work, rigorous work than I ever did in college. So I really am grateful that I had that.
Yeah. There's an actor, Kyle MacArthur, Broadway actor, who said to us, he went to Regis. They didn't teach me what to think. They taught me how to think. And that was a great service throughout my life, which is great to hear. Let me ask something, because, you know, you still are young looking and good looking, but part of life is for all of us, if we're alive, we're aging. And you're in this work in the arts where, for better or worse, they lionize youth and looks. How well does Adam Jacobs handle, as we all have to, the natural process of aging?
Well, that's a great question. You know, there are days when I wake up and I was like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm a little bit more sore than I remember being back in my 30s and my 20s. And I try not to think about it, I guess. I just try to keep going and do all the things I'm supposed to do, and, you know, work out and rest and hydrate and blah, 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 blah. But you are confronted by it every day, even just in New York City with the billboards and, you know, beautiful people and this and that. And I guess I've become a little just sort of removed from it and not taken in by that sort of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I never have been, I guess, concerned so much about how I appear to people, you know, maybe to my deficits to some points, but I just always felt like it's not as important. It's just too surface. You know, I try to look deeper with
Which
people I just feel like it's important. Obviously, I tell my kids, you know, you got to have the firm handshake, you got to look nice, and if you want to get the right job and that sort of thing, and it is important, but it can never become more important than who you are and how you interact in the world. I just think that's just more important.
Adam Jacobs has had a lot of success, but two in particular, Aladdin, where he was beautifully reviewed, and now The Who's Tommy, a wonderful hit again, beautifully reviewed. I mention that because I found it interesting that both Michael Urie, when he was a guest, and Kelly O'Hara, I asked them what I'm going to ask you. Do you read critics? And if you do, what's the effect?
Yeah, it's funny. Our director, Des McAnuff, he was like, don't read the reviews. You know, opening night, right? The day of our opening night performance, we had a meeting. He's like, don't read the reviews. And if you do, don't talk about them. Don't discuss them with anybody. And I get it, because a lot of people, you know, they are really affected by the words that people write. But I don't know. I guess for me, I haven't ever been the type of person who will read something written about myself or a show that I'm in and get really emotional about it. Cause I know it's just one person's opinion about the show, you know, and if anything, I am curious. I'm very curious to see what they decide to write about and how they perceive the show. And even if it is a negative, overall negative review, I just, I always want to see what people are seeing, because yeah. We don't know. We're up there on stage,
yes,
and we're pouring our hearts out, and we don't know what's hitting. And luckily, you know, I read pretty much all of the reviews, and I enjoy reading them, honestly, even though a lot of them are just, you know, silly and fun, and they choose strange things to write about. But like I said, I think my curiosity just mm-hmm. draws me towards to read them anyway. And I don't discuss them without asking
right.
My fellow actors. So I was like, are you the type of person who reads them? Do you care to discuss, you know, the reviews and you know, and I've always been interested in good stories and good writing in general. So I, you know, read the New York Times when I can, and mm-hmm. you know, New Scientist magazine. You know, I just like reading and learning. I continue to try to, you know, do that.
Yes, and the Post and the Wall Street Journal as well also loved you. But let me ask you this. For those who don't know, Adam, when he goes into something like the Who's Tommy or Aladdin or any show, he's not just, you know, giving one performance. He's giving a new performance every day, sometimes doubles. I mentioned that because years ago I brought a kid who had never been to any play at all to see it. I guess he was college age. And it blew him away to see what was going on stage. But I thought to myself, for him, this is the first time he's seeing it, and it's having such an impact on him. But for you, when you've done a play 50, 100 times, a musical, dancing, singing, constantly the same thing, mm-hmm. how do you remain fresh? How do you find the energy night after night for that kid who's having his first experience seeing Adam? How do you make it fresh for him? And how do you make it fresh for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, that's a question I do get a lot. And, you know, I played Aladdin over 1,000 times on Broadway and then on the road as well. And, you know, how do you keep it fresh? I think for me, there are moments before a show where I will go out onto the stage and hear the murmur, the you know, of the audience and out there, and all the downbeat will go, and I hear the applause. And I'm reminded that there are people out there who maybe have saved up for years to come to New York and see a Broadway show. It's maybe their first show ever. And, you know, I feel an obligation to those people to give the best of what I can. Even if I'm not feeling well, I'm going to give 100% of what I have. And I still make it a point to meet the people at the stage door, those who wish to meet the actors. I'll go and sign autographs and take pictures because I know how important it is to people out there. You know, in a show like Aladdin, for example, we had couples come up, "Oh, Whole New World was at my wedding." You know, we have people who are, you know, struggling mentally and say, like, you know, this, your show helped, you know, help my overall mental health and really pulled me back from the edge, so to speak. You know, so you never know what somebody's going through out in the audience, right? And if we can give them anything, you know, through our storytelling, it's a gift. And I revere it as a gift, basically, what we're able to do. So,
good for you, Adam. You know, Adam Jacobs, our guest, I would have thought, with 1,000 times as Aladdin, that you would have found a side door to slip out a back alley. But the fact that you stopped to talk to people is amazing to me. I promise this will be the last one. I'll let you get rested before you have to go on tonight. But Adam, you know, you come across, I guess you know this, you're upbeat, you're positive, you're a happy guy. I guess I'm wondering, and this is something that troubles me, our world, our country, just seems to be all the time so divided. People can't listen to each other. Families say they can't talk about anything controversial. When you look around, I'm thinking the first interview I ever did years ago was with the film director, Frank Capra, and he said he doesn't think physical illness is as serious a problem as the great illness of discouragement. But I guess I'm wondering, Adam Jacobs, as a person who lives in the real world, raises a family, you know, works hard, are you a person of hope? And if you are a person of hope and finds a reason for your joy, what is it?
Wow. That's a very deep question, but this podcast is called Personally Speaking.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, where do I find my hope and my, you know, I think, like you said, there's so much in this world that could be discouraging if you if you sit and think about it. And all that I have ever wanted is to, you know, do good work, be respected for it, and affect change the way that I can, right? And if I can help, like I said, that one person in the audience who's struggling with my performance, then that's what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to focus on the things that I know that I can do well and really help. And if everybody did that, then imagine all the positive things that we could do. So just finding little ways to help along the way, and that way you're not completely overwhelmed. It could be so overwhelming if you think about all the problems in the world. But finding little ways every day to affect change, I think is key. Yes. And that brings me hope in a way, you know, it's sort of a granular hope, I suppose. But it's a hope that, that helps, you know, there as many grains of sand there are in the world, like, you know, everybody can pitch in their own way. So,
yeah. And you do. Yeah. And you do. I want to thank Adam for being with us. Adam has had such success in his career. Many of us were big fans of Aladdin, and now many of us have become fans of Tommy, the Who's Tommy. But I wanted people to know from this particular program, the man, the husband, the dad, the man who struggles like the rest of us, who never gives up on hope or joy. And I hope our listeners and viewers will go see the Who's Tommy, and we'll get hold of Adam's album. But most importantly, Adam, just thank you for being real and being genuine and bringing joy to many of us for many years. May you continue to have good health and an ageless personality to do that. Thank you so much for being with us on Personally Speaking.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
As we end today's program, I want to thank you all for being with us. If you need to reach me, you can do that at personallyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com. We're also, you're probably listening to this on Sirius XM, the Catholic channel, but if you want to watch the program, we're on YouTube. You can search under Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lasanti. We're also on Facebook at Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lasanti, and on Instagram at Personally Speaking Podcast. Please share and tell your friends and family about our program. I've been privileged to serve as host and executive producer, Personally Speaking. Our producer is Lisa Jandovitz. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be with you again next time on Personally Speaking. Thank you.